Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Constitution Party Talk Radio. I am your host, Constitutional Evangelist, and tonight our special guest is Daryl Castle from the Constitutionally Correct Podcastles, or if you go straight to his website at Castle Report, you can hear his podcast there. He's also the former vice chairman of the Constitution Party and former vice president candidate. Welcome to the show tonight, Daryl.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be back with you.
Man, it is. And you have some really exciting news. You guys have won a tremendous victory down there in Tennessee, and I asked you if you'd come on and tell us about it, because, you know, a lot of people around the nation just really wonder if we're really ever gaining any ground. And boy, you guys gained some tremendous footage there in Tennessee. So tell us a little bit about that, Daryl.
Well, we in 2008, April of 2008, we had been thinking, mostly Joan and me, but some others as well, that we wanted to do something in Tennessee that would leave a legacy for the folks here. And so ballot access had always been a problem. They made it easy for independent to be on the ballot, but as a party, it was impossible. So in April of 2008, we sued the state, alleging that their ballot access laws were unconstitutional. And that lawsuit went on for 2 years, and we won. We won on every issue. And the judge wrote a 97-page opinion about that, and the state appealed it to the Sixth Circuit. And the Sixth Circuit sent it back for remand. They didn't overturn it. They just remanded it back to the judge and told him to reconsider some of these things in light of what they had said. So, before that, let me jump back a minute and say, after that first lawsuit was ended, the state legislature reordered the law and essentially made it worse, made it even more difficult to get access. And judge was very upset about that, so we sued them again. And that suit also took 2 years, and we won it. And this time he was very adamant about exactly what he wanted done, and the state appealed that ruling, and that appeal has gone on for a year. That's what has been remanded back to the judge, and the judge reconsidered it, and he ruled in our favor on every issue. That was June 18th, I guess that's about a week ago, that his ruling came out. He wrote a 67-page order, which is kind of a treatise on how the U.S. Constitution looks at ballot access. So we're very, very happy about that. The two major things that we were looking for that he ruled on was, number one, the number of signatures required for ballot access in Tennessee had been 2.5% of the vote in the last gubernatorial election. In Tennessee, that was approximately 47,000 signatures. Of course, it varies from election to election. But he said that was unreasonable and unconstitutional. His words were that it was impossible or next to impossible for any third party to be on the ballot. So he said, he didn't say that 2.5% was unconstitutional, but what it represented was. And he gave some examples of what unconstitutional was. And he quoted one state who had a signature requirement of 22,000, and he said that was unreasonable and unconstitutional in Tennessee, given its possibilities, its population, and so forth. So somewhere short of 22,000, and we have a strong reason to believe that the final number is going to be 5. There's a legislative commission, which we have a representative on, who is trying to get this new law passed, and we're asking for 5,000 signatures, which would be fairly easy for us to do, we think.
When you say you have a representative there, what do you mean by that?
Well, this is a legislative committee that invited people from the two parties that were a party to this lawsuit, us and the Green Party, to have a representative on this committee that the legislature formed to give credence to this new law to get it through the legislature. So we're excited about that. The other thing was the ordering of the ballot has always been in Tennessee that the two major parties are listed first, and the one that's listed first among them is the one that has a majority in the state legislature. And the judge said that was unreasonable and unconstitutional and violated our 14th Amendment right to equal protection. And so now they have to order the ballot by just luck of the draw. So theoretically, we could end up first. So we are on the ballot through 2014, and if we don't get 5% of the vote in a statewide election, we have to requalify. But that should be simple if the signatures are lowered to 5,000 like we think they will. That is essentially the decision, but the judge's order, as I said, was written like a treatise for how the U.S. Constitution looks at these issues in ballot access. So that was good. He specifically said that the state's witnesses, expert witnesses, who essentially said what these people are trying to do is impossible and they just need to stop and just become Democrats or Republicans. And the judge said, no, that is rejected, and, you know, that old dog won't hunt. So you can forget that argument. And so we won. We won on every issue. The state has until July 18th, I believe, to appeal. I don't think they will. They lost the last appeal, and it cost them a lot of money, and I don't think they'll be interested in doing it again, but they could. You never know. And that is basically it.
Yeah, you know, what would be interesting is if they were to do that, man, you could make so much political, or should I say public hay out of that, you know, here it is, folks. Are you sure you want your party to continue trying to keep other people from having a voice in the government and spending your money to do that? I mean, you know, that's what they did here in Illinois back in 2010 with me, spending nearly $250,000 just to keep little old me. And I lost. You know, I lost that. But, you know, at the same time, the Republicans, and I've got some good friends. I know that, you know, I'm sure that you've got some great associates that are still Republican. But, you know, they spent all of their money trying to keep me out instead of giving them good candidates.
Well, yes. We don't want to have to make that type of political hay. We just want to be on the ballot, and we
exactly.
don't want to keep fighting. We want to concentrate on winning the elections here in Tennessee. And that is the other half of our exciting news, and that is that our party here is growing by leaps and bounds, and they're very excited about this new ruling because they see now that this party has a future and that we can be on the ballot, we can be successful. So new party, new people, Tea Party people primarily, are joining us right and left. We've taken in about 100 new members this year from various Tea Party groups, where we have had people going out to the various Tea Parties in different counties and speaking, and it's been very successful. So it's Tennessee's an exciting place to be a Constitution Party member right now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what's crazy is once you get this signature level down to, you know, 5,000, and by the way, how many signatures did have the Republicans and Democrats had to, what was their signature requirement?
Well, they don't have to qualify. They always get 5% of the vote. They don't have to worry about that. But there were certain things in the ballot access laws qualifying as a party that were requirements on us, but not on them. And we got those struck down as well. Where Tennessee has 95 counties, and in order to be a legitimate party, you had to have a representative in all 95 counties, and they didn't do that. So that's not the law anymore either. So it's we cleaned up quite a mess with this 5-year struggle. So
right,
let's hope.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, does that also include all of the down ballot candidates as well for state rep, senate, county sheriff, and all of that? Are those, all of those signature requirements going to be dropped to be more equitable with the Republicans and Democrats?
Yeah. I mean, if we qualify as a statewide minor party, then they would be qualified.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
If we don't qualify as a statewide minor party, then they would have to qualify individually, but that's not what we're trying to do. We are trying our best to get a statewide candidate who has a reasonable chance at being elected in 2014, because we don't have to qualify. We're on the ballot there unless the state somehow appeals and gets it overturned.
Right. Well, just so that I understand, and it maybe helped others to understand as well, because this process of getting on the ballot is different in every single state. I don't know of any two states that are the same. I mean, there's even some states you pay $500 and you're on. So my question here is, like here in Illinois, even though the Republicans and Democrats have had ballot access since forever, and, you know, they have to run at least one person at the statewide level to get 5%. Still, each of those candidates at the statewide level for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary, treasurer, comptroller, and attorney general, each one of those candidates have to get 5,000 signatures to get on the ballot. Now, we in the Constitution Party have to get 25,000 signatures to get our full slate of candidates on the ballot. And, of course, we delivered nearly 38,000, and they objected to 17,000. And after a couple of court battles, were able to keep us off by 65 signatures. Still, there's still a signature requirement. Is that the same thing there, or just because they got ballot access, they just do whatever's in the primary, and then whoever goes on, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's essentially the way it is here. And we're taking the position that since this case went to the Sixth Circuit, I mean, it's not a Sixth Circuit opinion, but it was appealed to the Sixth Circuit, and the Sixth Circuit gave their ruling, and it was remanded, and then the judge ruled again. We're trying to take the position that it's binding on the Sixth Circuit, but we'll see. I mean, that's not up to us, and it's not really our main concern, but people in those states should pay attention if they're interested.
Well, in a in the area, and we kind of talked about this a little briefly last night, in the area of where, you know, we've got basically precedent law, you know, when a judge rules and sets a precedent, this really has set a precedent that other states and circuits could actually follow. Is that not correct?
Well, they could. I mean, it's not binding on anybody outside the Sixth Circuit, and, you know, other states in the Sixth Circuit might make the argument that it's not even binding on them because it's not a Sixth Circuit ruling, but I'm taking the position that it is because it went to the Sixth Circuit. They ruled on it. They did not overturn it. It's certainly a very strong argument for them, but states outside the Sixth Circuit, it might be influential, but it's not precedent. It's not binding.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think where – you know, it is certainly not only a fantastic and awesome victory there in Tennessee, but I think is a great victory for the party as a whole nationally. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, it is, yeah. And people could use it. I mean, they could take that opinion and use it if they wanted to try to go the same route and look at the judge's order and see what he said and put that into their lawsuit if they wanted to to find somebody to do that for them. But and you don't, if you find the right lawyer, you don't have to worry too much about having to pay him, because if he's confident of victory and he's willing to take it under those circumstances, he's entitled to be paid by the state. If it's a matter of of statewide importance and that sort of thing. He's trying to establish some fundamental right.
Hey, Daryl, let me cut you off here just real quick. We've got to take a break, and let me, because I think this is really important. So would you stay with us, and we'll be right back, folks.
All right.
All right, thanks. Welcome back to our second segment, and if you're just now catching us, I'm on the air with Daryl Castle, and he was just talking about a tremendous victory that was won there in Tennessee in regards to, actually, it's not just simply a victory for the Constitution Party. I believe it is a constitutional victory for all Americans, because for so long, folks, for so long, we have had just basically a choice of hamburger and hot dogs. Occasionally, I might want to have a steak or maybe a tenderloin or something, you know? I'm tired of just hamburgers and hot dogs. But here we got an opportunity where we can actually get a hold of some prime rib meat, folks, where people are willing to uphold the Constitution. So great, great victory. Congratulations, Daryl. Job well done, and thank you so much for leading the charge there in Tennessee.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, it's the Green Party was also a party to the suit, so it's obviously to their benefit. And the Libertarians, even though they weren't parties in this last suit, it benefits them. So everybody who seeks ballot access as a party and who were not Democrats or Republicans should be very happy and excited about this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you were trying to say something there before I had to cut you off for the break, and now I went off my little rant and I forgot what it was. If you remember, I thought it was pretty important stuff.
I was just saying that in our state, at least, there's a provision under certain circumstances that the state, if you win, the state will pay your attorney fees. And this other lawyer and I took it on ourselves to do it under that provision. And the state, when they appealed to the Sixth Circuit, they appealed our attorney fees as being unreasonable. And the judge overturned that and basically said, no, pay them. And so that's good, too. Hopefully they'll do that. And we won't have to sue them again. But if we do, we do, you know. And we're committed that to fight it as long as it takes. But I grow weary of fighting, and I would love for this just to be the end of it.
Yeah, I understand that. How do I want to phrase this? What advice do you give to constitutionalists around the nation in terms of taking a look about the benefits of, and I say the benefits, I mean, you certainly look at it as a war and a struggle, but any advice, tidbits of, nuggets that you can hand out to other people who are listening to our show, especially those folks who are in the Constitution Party, but Americans as a general, if they really want to try to take this battle on to their individual states as well?
Well, this judge ruled under the U.S. Constitution, which is good news. He said the massive signature requirement, and if you look at our history, no state's ever qualified. I mean, no third party has ever qualified on the ballot in Tennessee, except I think Ross Perot, when he put about $10 million of his own money into it. But the judge said it's impossible, and that violates the First Amendment right of freedom of expression, freedom to associate with those that you will, and that sort of thing. And the other one, the ordering of the ballot, was an equal protection violation of the 14th Amendment. But if people were interested in going that route, they could get a copy of this judge's opinion. It's 67 pages long, but I'll be happy to send it to anybody that wants it. If they want to email me and leave me their physical address and their email address, I'll see they get a copy of it.
And how can they get your email there, Daryl?
Well, they could send it to DLC, Delta Lima Charlie, at DarylCastle.com. and I will get that. And if they leave me their physical address, like I said, and their email address, I'll make sure they get it. You know, I mean, hopefully people will order it who actually want to do something with it and not just people who are curious about it.
Let's talk about, just real briefly, if you don't mind, I'll not hold you the entire show, but, you know, some other exciting, as you were mentioning, some other exciting things are happening besides the lawsuit, is the fact that you're seeing an unprecedented influx of people joining in with Tennessee. And, of course, when people start understanding that it won't take them anything more to do the ballot access within the Constitution Party than it does within the Democrat and the Republican parties, I think that's going to be a tremendous boon. I mean, just here in Illinois alone, I think if people thought, man, we don't have to get 25,000, all we got to get is 5,000 signatures, I mean, I think that would make a huge difference in people. You know what? I might be able to actually do that for a change. So tell us a little bit about what's going on, and let's talk about maybe some of the reasons behind why.
Well, it is exciting for people who are considering joining your party. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem hopeless anymore. They see it as it could be done. You know, we could actually get on the ballot as a party and elect somebody in this state. And this all started when some representatives of the Tea Party contacted us. And we were happy to accept their invitation to meet. And they came down to Memphis and met with us, and we talked about what could be done, and they invited me to come up and speak to their group, which is about 175 miles from here, and I did, and, you know, a bunch of them joined the party, and then other groups joined, and people have been going out and speaking to different Tea Party groups, but these are Tea Party representatives speaking to their own people, which has more credence. Sometimes they ask me to speak, other times it's just them, and they're going out and speaking to these various county Tea Party groups, and many, many of them have been joining us. I mean, the pitch is essentially, you know, have you had enough? And they see our platform, they like it, and that's the way it's been going, and this ballot access thing has just added fire to it and given it more credence.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you see that's happening, you know, across the nation? I mean, I know that you've got your finger a little bit on the pulse of what's happening across the nation. Do you see the same thing kind of happening around, or is it just, do you think it's just kind of there in the central part of the nation?
Well, you know, I don't know if the same thing is happening other places. I know that people are dissatisfied. I know that the avenue is open to people. I mean, these Tea Party groups in Tennessee, at least, there are a lot of them that are just ordinary, honorable, decent people who aren't sold out to the Republicans or anyone else. They've always, for the most part, considered themselves Republican, but they formed Tea Parties because they were dissatisfied, and they're open to these things. That's the way it's proven to be here. So I would certainly encourage people to reach out. If you can find one bright young guy like we did to lead the outreach to them from the Tea Parties himself, then it's certainly a big help. You've got a Tea Party person who says, I found something and I would like to invite you people to join me in it. We're going to build something here. And we reordered our documents, our Tennessee CP Constitution and bylaws and everything, which really are a model, I think, for the whole country to look at. So it's pretty exciting. We're happy that it's going this way, and it's. I would hope that it's out there and available for anybody that wants to do it.
Right, right. Well, you know, what's the big connection here, and I don't know if people really have a grasp of this or not, but you were here when the party first formed back in 1992. And, you know, the thought was that, you know, the party's name was the U.S. Taxpayers Party, and there was a focus on, you know, the whole thing with the taxes and the taxation and what I call unconstitutional taxation. Some people would argue, well, it's in the Constitution because it's an amendment, but it certainly destroyed the original intent that our founding fathers had vested into the to the Constitution. But you know, there's this huge connection that we really have with the Tea Party because, you know, we were the taxed enough already party back in 1992. They should just, you know, if we could just show them, hey, we're your band of brothers.
Yeah, the original U.S. Taxpayers Party tax was a big issue, and the original phone number, which I believe is still in effect, 1-800-TO-VETO-IRS, was Howard Phillips' vision of getting rid of the IRS. But the main platform, and I, believe me, I've been involved with it since the beginning. I was chairman of the platform committee for 12 years, three different terms, and I was on a delegate on two different platform committees before that. So that's 20 years plus, I guess, the last year or so. And the platform has remained essentially unchanged. I mean, there are changes every time, but it is the same basic thing that it's been this whole time. It's based on the U.S. Constitution, and taxes are one part of that. We, you know, whether you take the position that the 16th Amendment is valid or not, I mean, we have a plank in our platform that says that we think there's good reason to believe that it was improperly ratified and that sort of thing. But aside from that, there are fundamental reasons not to have the IRS anymore, and that is abundantly clear from what's been going on recently. is the historic connection.
We have a listener out there on our chat forum, and he kind of brings up a good point that it's a good, I think, segue or connection here, is, you know, the idea of reforming the Republican Party from within. You know, so many Tea Parties, you know, that's their mantra. But, you know, for the past 3-4 years, it's just progressively got worse and worse. And how is it that they don't see it? But what's your kind of thoughts about that, Daryl?
Well, I mean, good luck. People, as you say, have been trying to do that, and every time it just gets worse. And these Tea Party groups that are joining us have given up on that as a viable concept, and they realize that it can't happen. I mean, the Republican leadership simply will not allow it to happen. And so, I mean, what else can you say about it that hasn't already been said? It is an impossible dream. The leadership controls the party. It's never going to happen. So if that is your dream, you know, dream on if that's the way you want to do it. But it's not going to happen. It can't happen on the local level because the leadership will not allow it.
Yeah, well, you know, they might actually let them have a few little itty-bitty victories here and there at the local level. But, you know, when you understand who actually controls the two-party duopoly, and that, you know, the Republican Party is a part of that. I just, you know, I've been accused so many times of tilting at windmills and living a pipe dream and all that. But, you know, Daryl, the more I see this, the more I am convinced that we are on the right side. We are doing the right thing. And it is those who have this pipe dream of reforming the Republican Party that are the actual ones tilting against windmills.
Well, the people that say you're tilting at windmills, you can tell them that Don Quixote, the man of La Mancha, fought imaginary enemies. But we fight real enemies. They're not windmills. They're real people, real enemies of this country and of the Constitution and of the whole world, really. And I'm proud to be a part of that, for one. They always use these ad hominem attacks when they have no answer for our questions. You know, I got a comment today on one of my podcasts from a gentleman who apparently had nothing to say about what I actually said, so he attacked me personally. And that is a typical cowardly way of doing it. You know, you have no answer to the message, so just attack the messenger. And that type of thing, you know, just try to let it roll off your back and move on. It's hard sometimes, but you have to.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's all the time we got for this second segment. Folks, stay with us, and we'll be right back for the third and final segment. All right, folks, welcome back to our third and final segment. And if you happen to be listening out there and want to call in, the number is area code 646-716-5522. And would love to hear from you if you've got a question or a comment. Let's see. We've got another posting here on the chat form. Let me just read it real quickly. Daryl, most of the Tea Party and conservative Republicans are rallying behind Rand Paul for 2016. What are your feelings about Rand Paul? I personally don't see conservatives winning at the national level again.
Well, I don't see them winning at that level again either. Rand, you know, there are certain good things about him, obviously, but he's not his father. His father's not in office anymore, and even when he wasn't beholden to people like Rand seems to be. But still, once again, I mean, he's probably the best of the lot, I guess, in my opinion. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Our Tea Party people certainly don't feel that way. The ones that are joining us, they've had enough. In fact, that's our motto, our pitch to them. We go around the different counties here in Tennessee, and we run an ad that says, had enough. And they have. It's a good approach. So, you know, you either give up on the Republicans or you don't. We're tired of hoping that something changes. You know, a lot of us hoped that Ron was the answer, but the Republican leadership is not going to let anybody that feels the way we do be elected, and it's time to abandon that forlorn hope and join something that actually might have some chance of putting somebody into office who feels the way we do. Otherwise, this Constitution is going to cease to exist.
Yep. Well, you know, both you and I have seen some really what we would consider very constitutionally questionable positions that Rand Paul has taken, especially in regards to this whole immigration fiasco that's going on right now.
Yeah, he has to answer to his leadership like every other member, and I've been disappointed on his immigration stand, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I've said it several times, and I still will. To date, nobody has challenged me. You know, back in 2010, you know, all those great Tea Party victories that were all touted about, you know, and without exception, every single one of those quote unquote Tea Party candidates that won election, Michelle Bachmann, Alan West, and others have cast their votes contrary to what we understand is a big constitutional position.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, I can dispute you about a lot of things. You and I argue all the time, but we have no argument from me on that.
Well, you know, and if people would just simply wake up and understand, you know, I believe they were good, principled people, and they went in, you know, with stars in their eyes, so to speak, thinking that they were going to be the great constitutional champion that would not cave and kowtow to the powers that be, that they would be the great champions of the Constitution. But what they fail to recognize is the power of the system that will squash you. I know we had a guy, a state senator here in Illinois. I absolutely adored the man. He was basically the Ron Paul of Illinois, Dr. No. And but, you know, his effectiveness was minimal at best because he was always running against the stream. And you know, when you start seeing that and recognizing that these people have to, you know, kowtow if they want to stay in, because they do want to stay in because they believe that they can at least make some positive change, but they really still fail to recognize that unless we have true competition, a third party, a fourth party, a fifth party, and a multi-party system, this land will always continue to go towards corruption until we can start competing and get rid of these yahoos.
Well, we don't have citizen legislators anymore. We have a group of elite who rule over us, and they don't care about us. I don't care who they are. Once they're in office, they understand that being a congressman and a senator is a pretty good job. And, you know, you serve a couple of terms, you get your salary for life. And that is what they care about, staying there. And in order to stay there, they feel like they have to appease the leadership. And the leadership is the ruling elite. And nothing is ever going to change until we have people in office who essentially have an allegiance to a higher calling. That's one reason why we reordered our bylaws and our constitution here in Tennessee to put some accountability into it for vetting candidates and that sort of thing, because power corrupts. It corrupts the mind and the morals, and that's why the founding fathers envisioned a very weak government run by citizen legislators. But now we have a very powerful, and I would argue all-powerful, without limit government run by a group of ruling elite, and we just sit and allow it one time after another. We want to reform them, but they don't. They reform us little by little. They reform us in every aspect you want to look at. Just look at what's been happening in recent days. We, the people, are being reformed, not them, and not in a good way, I would argue.
Oh, man. Well, you certainly get no argument from me on that one. I mean, when you look at the mores that are being pushed through legislation and all of that, it's just absolutely horrendous. And I think, Daryl, and I think you would probably agree, that right now there's probably never been a better time for the Constitution Party across the nation, and especially, obviously, there in Tennessee. But I think people are starting to wake up. The question is, can we wake up enough people, and can we really bring them on board fast enough that we can actually save our country?
Well, that's the question. This is a good time. It's the time we have, good or bad. This is where we are, and it's what we have. And, you know, we were young once and naive in the Constitution Party. I remember being at the formation of the party meetings, and I remember Joan and I were the first Tennessee delegates to the first national convention. And when I say young, we believed everybody was excited, and we believed that we could go out and change the world, and it hasn't happened yet, but we're still here and we're still working, and this is the time that we have, as the Bible says, behold, now is the time of salvation. So we take what we have and we go with it, and it's going to take a lot of effort from a lot of people, and they have to do more than just talk, you know, as they say, when all is said and done, more is said than done, but you have to take action to achieve anything.
Certainly do. And Daryl, my friend, I am honored and privileged to call you friend, brother, and to you know, have these opportunities of discussion. But this party owes you a debt of gratitude, and I want to express my appreciation for all that you have done. And, you know, there's another word in the Bible, and it's called persevere. And, you know, you and Joan have persevered through thick and thin, and mostly thin, I think, times. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. I think, by and large, we have a party. I have a party that I can come to and be a part of because of you guys, and I just want to express my appreciation for that.
Well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that. What we've done has been a labor of love, and I'm very grateful that we are able to achieve something at this stage of our lives and our careers and so forth, maybe something that we can leave to this party, at least here in Tennessee, as some degree of success.
Absolutely, and a fantastic legacy. Let me ask you one last question before we jet out of here for tonight. And I don't mean to hijack you in any way, shape, or form, but would you care to talk about some your possible looking at what might be happening for the 2016 presidential elections?
Well, I mean, as you know, I'm seriously considering being a candidate. We're talking about that, and when I said people have to take action a minute ago, I'm interested in who is interested. I want to know if people are willing to support a CP candidate who supports the platform and U.S. Constitution and is willing to live and die with it, because that's what I am. And I don't want to sacrifice my family and my career as a lawyer and that sort of thing unless people are with me, and by with me I mean unless they're willing to help me get ballot access in enough states to at least theoretically win the election. All 50 states would be wonderful, but I won't lay down that requirement, although I do think it's doable if enough people got behind us. I mean, all it takes is about 1,000 people who are willing to give $100 a month. And you can do math on those numbers any way you want to, but you know, it depends on what people want.
Yep.
I'll sacrifice myself to a certain extent, but I don't want to go into any election process with the question that people always ask you every time you're interviewed by a unfavorable station: why are you doing this? You know you can't win. If you don't have ballot access, I mean, I can answer that question. Unless I don't have ballot access. If I don't, then they're right.
Yep.
So it has to be mathematically possible.
And we're certainly looking at that across the nation. I know Frank, our chairman, is looking at that, and that has to be our focus and a goal within the party itself, is ballot access, because the candidate should not be responsible for ballot access. The candidate should be responsible for campaigning and winning the election. It's up to us to really lay down the gauntlet for people across the nation to step up to the plate and get ballot access into your own state. Because, folks, listen, Daryl is, as he said, willing to sacrifice to lay down the gauntlet to be the presidential candidate. But, hey, I'm with him. If it's just a fruitless effort, you know what? I have no intention of just being another exercise in futility. But if we get enough people charged, excited, and willing to step forward, then let's rock and roll, folks. Get in touch with Daryl. Give them your email address one more time, if you would, Daryl, so that they can get in touch with you and find out how they can start begin supporting your efforts.
DLC@DarylCastle.com. There's also, I noticed on the website, castlereport.us, there's a contact form on there that if people were interested in me personally, they could use, but they can reach me at that email address if they want to.
Outstanding. And there's also a Draft Daryl Castle web or a Facebook page out there, and you can certainly become a part of that and express your support there as well. And, you know, look, I don't blame you, Daryl, whatsoever. I mean, I was putting forward a exploratory committee myself for the U.S. Senate. And, you know, I basically realized that it's probably not going to happen this time for 2014. So we're certainly looking at that possibility here as well, folks. So we just got a few seconds left. Any final rounds to fire there, Daryl?
No, I mean, that's about it. I appreciate you having me on and all the kind words you said about me. Joan and I are very grateful. We love the Constitution Party and its people. That's where it starts. I mean, you have to pass the love test before anything else, and this party does, and I'm happy, proud, actually, to be associated with it. I don't have to be embarrassed about this party, and I can defend it to just anybody that wants me to. I mean, by the way, I've had several interviews from different reporters across Tennessee who have wanted to know about the lawsuit and what it means and that sort of thing. So word's getting out.
Outstanding. Well, God bless you, my friend, my brother at arms, and just really appreciate you so much, and thank you for taking your time. We extended it a little bit farther than what I knew you were kind of wanting, because it's hot down there and you need to get in your pool. So God bless you, Daryl, and may God bless these United States once again. Join us again next week for another exciting episode of Constitution Party Talk Radio. Thank you, Daryl. Really appreciate it, brother.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate all those kind words you said about me.
Well, they were truly meant from my heart, and I'm with you, brother. I am, you know, whatever I can do to help and support, that you can count on me.
All right, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So tell your beautiful wife I said hello, and enjoy the rest of the evening.
All right. Good night.
Good night.